Rachel, you know what I did last night?
What?
I read this book, Standing Tall, by C. Vivian Stringer.
Yes.
Because she was supposed to be a guest on our show this morning. And unfortunately, she's going MIA.
No.
Kind of our worst nightmare. Kind of a publicist's worst nightmare. Publicist doesn't know what to do. But we, at the BPP, always have a plan.
When you're doing a live radio show like the Bryant Park Project, sometimes things go wrong. Guests sleep through their alarms, they get stuck in traffic, and sometimes they get better offers. And when they do, the BPP is ready with a piece by NPR's esteemed science correspondent, Robert Krulwich.
Get me Krulwich!
We call it Emergency Krulwich.
But Mr. Martinez, you said only to use Emergency Krulwich in an emergency.
Damn it, man, this is an emergency. Control room, deploy Emergency Krulwich.
If you could choose between the most comfortable cozy bed on Earth or sleeping in outer space with no gravity, which would you choose? And before you answer, let's cheat.
Oh, sleeping in space is fantastic. I mean, you just float, and it's perfect, and it's wonderful. It's fabulous.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Retired astronaut Dan Barry has spent 30 nights on three different space missions. Retired astronaut Marsha Ivins, 42 nights on five different missions. And here's why they say that space sleeping beats Earth sleeping.
Yes? Bring us a
dream. First, when you're in space, you can go to sleep absolutely anywhere. And I mean anywhere. If you ask, where's my bed?
Well, it's wherever you want it to be. That's what it turns out to be.
Basically right. You choose a place where you're going to be, and it could be on the wall or the ceiling or wherever.
Yeah, it's actually fun.
Is it fun or weird?
Yeah, no, it's great fun. It's great fun. I loved hanging in a weird position, being in a weird position.
And then here's another plus. When you're in space, you never have to lie on your arm.
You know how sometimes you get your arm underneath you and it goes to sleep or whatever?
And
none of that, okay? You just float.
You don't have to lie on anything. On the other hand, nothing will lie on you.
I'm one of those like to sleep under lots and lots of cover people. You know,
yeah.
The weight of the covers on
you.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. Well, you don't get that when there's no gravity.
Because when there's no gravity, you could be under 5 blankets, 10 blankets, 20 blankets. They're not going to weigh anything.
It's a little disconcerting to sleep without weight. So it's getting used to sleeping free.
Listen on your magic feet. Oh, Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
But sleeping free has some interesting complications. For example, suppose you like a fetal position. Suppose you want to bring your knees up to your chest at night. In space, you can't do that because you're being pulled equally in all directions. So your body just naturally wants to open up.
You'll be in sort of a opened up C position.
Like the letter C.
And your arms will be like you're trying to hug a big tree.
Kind of splayed wide open.
You know, they'll be open.
Yeah.
And that's the posture that your body is comfortable in.
So if you want an all-night fetal curl, astronauts have to use a tool. They call it the Velcro strap.
And so a lot of people will sleep, and they'll use the Velcro strap to sort of strap their knees up to their chest.
Right, kind of go in a little bit of fetal position. I'll even sometimes strap my legs into a fetal position the first day or two.
And that's not the only thing they strap up there.
The other thing is that your head, you know, of course, doesn't stay on the pillow. It drifts up.
So you have to have a pillow, though, don't you? So
there is a pillow. Right. It's a block of foam, mm-hmm. And you put the back of your head on it, and then you Velcro the front of your head to it.
You Velcro the front of your head to the front of your head or the back of your head?
No, you Velcro your head to the pillow.
So really, you're wearing your pillow.
Or it's wearing you.
Astronauts Marsha Ivins and Dan Barry admit that sleeping in space has, a few downsides. For example, there's the problem of phantom limbs. When you sleep in space, your arms, and your arms especially, get free of the sleeping bag and kind of drift around any way they like.
So your arms are out there, and in fact, the first night sleeping, hand was hitting my face, and I thought it was the guy next to me. So I said, stop bothering me. And he's like, I'm not bothering you. You're hitting yourself. And I was like, what? And sure enough, when you fall asleep, your hands drift right in front of your face, And in my case, the first night, they were bumping into my face.
And while that happened again the second night...
Not after that.
So somehow, and Dan doesn't know how, bodies learn to adjust to zero gravity. They just do.
Never happened again after the first night.
And so once you get the hang of it, then... Any time you like, anywhere you like, you could be right side up, you could be upside down. Whenever you feel tired, all you have to do is just close your eyes and then... And that is why, say both astronauts, assuming that you don't mind being strapped to your knees while being clamped to a pillow, nothing beats a good night in space.
And it's wonderful. At the end of the mission, I'm just... I mean, it's fabulous. I love sleeping in space.
Robert Krulwich, NPR News, in New York.
That was an emergency Krulwich. Thank you, Robert, once again, for saving our bacon on a Friday. So, you know what? It is Friday, Rachel.
It is.
Which is a good thing. We've gotten through a whole week, both of us here for the whole week.
Did
so.
It.
What have I learned this week on the Bryant Park Project?
What have you learned, Allison?
Well, I learned today that Stop Loss, not only is it a movie, which has a political point of view, that the whole Stop Loss policy began in the Vietnam era. Did not know that.
We also learned how to pronounce Philippi, seriously. The guy who stars in this movie, Stop Loss, Ryan Philippi. Actually, I taught Daniel Holloway how to pronounce that one. I also learned today on our show... From NPR's international economics correspondent that John McCain is calling for less economic regulation, even as many Republicans are favoring more of it.
I also learned this week on the Bryant Park Project that in North Carolina's markets, due to some rules with the NCAA, they can't play highlights while other games are going. So one guy has resorted to doing the highlights with puppets.
Of course.
Got to go to our blog to see that.
I also learned that if you're a young woman who likes to ski and you live in Pakistan... You have to wear sweatpants over your ski outfit to adapt to cultural mores.
I also learned that weathermen in Haiti have a really good sense of humor when it's nice out.
Pretty much everywhere, it's going to be hot. Try that.
Then I don't need a jacket. Thanks, Arthur.
Thanks, Arthur.
We just kept playing that one over and over and over again. And I also learned that for NPR's foreign correspondent based in Istanbul, Ivan Watson, sometimes it's easier to draw a map of Mesopotamia than it is to draw a map of, say, the Midwest of his home country, the United States of America.
I learned during a new music segment that Madonna can really rely on her friends Justin Timberlake and Timbaland, and also that the song Crazy by Gnarls Barkley is still really good.
I remember when I lost my mind. And that does it for this hour of the Bryant Park Project, which is directed by Ian Chillock. Our technical director is Manoli Weatherall.
The staff includes Dan Pashman, Jacob Gans, Wynn Rosenfeld, Angela Ellis, and Caitlin Kenny.
Our interns are Laura Silver and William Hoffman and Elsa Butler.
Butler.
Trisha McKinney is our editor. Laura Conaway and Nathan Duell edit our website and blog.
Our senior producer is Matt Martinez. Sharon Hoffman is our executive producer.
I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin. We are online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. Hey, have a good weekend. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.